And it is Christmas time, isn't it? Every year, there are songs that are sung. There's decorations put up, lights, Advent, and different things that remind us. And we experience the greeting of Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays to strangers. And even those that are not followers of Jesus, have you seen this? Have you noticed this? That they get into the festivities and they decorate and they put lights up and they give gifts and they say happy holidays or whatever. But then they sing songs about the Savior, about Jesus. And it's pretty cool to see that Christmas time is more than just the festivities. It's about Jesus coming to this earth, coming to our earth, to where we live. And it's the most significant event in history when Jesus came. And so even as believers, we often kind of get sucked into the festivities, and maybe we forget, or maybe we just get kind of sidetracked on the remarkable story of Christmas. And so even though we shop for our loved ones, we cook meals, we have decorating our homes with lights and putting ornaments up, and as we celebrate, may we remember the true meaning, the story that is in the midst of that. And so should we stop those holiday traditions? Absolutely not. But we should enhance it, because Christmas is about Jesus coming to this earth. And in the middle of that, may we celebrate who he is. And so there's so much more to this Christmas season than just a baby in Bethlehem. And so as we celebrate, as we look at this story, this birth of this baby in Bethlehem was the ultimate fulfillment of prophecies. In fact, you could do your own studies, but there are at least 300 or more prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. And so these words that are spoken, these prophecies, they describe Jesus, how he would show up, where he would show up. They described his ancestry, his life, and even his death. And so you can do your own study one day on the prophecies, but it's incredible. And so all kind of points to this day, this moment in time when Jesus came to this earth. But it's also about the story of God's people. God's people, and which includes us, because we are adopted into his people. People who need a Savior, who needed a sacrifice to take and cover over and take away their sins forever. A story about salvation. And even though God orchestrated every detail of the birth of his son, he also used fascinating, ordinary, and put those two words together, it's kind of an oxymoron, right? But fascinating characters that are just ordinary people like you and me to put together this beautiful tapestry, this beautiful story that came to life. Imagine Mary, 14 years old, virgin, carrying the Son of God. Imagine Joseph, her faithful, loyal husband. Imagine experiencing visitations by angels sent from God in the sky. Imagine in the midst of this holy mystery, ordinary people like you and me are being players in this great scheme. It's a story that deserves to be on the big screen. It's a blockbuster of blockbusters story. And so the Messiah, the King of Kings, born in a cow trough. And the first that worship him were homeless, dirty shepherds, outcasts of society. And in the sky, a magnificent star illuminating the heavens, leading a crew of magi from another country to come and see the child, to bring gifts. This is an incredible story. And so as we consider or even rediscover all the beautiful, majestic, and divine elements of this Christmas story, may you be in awe. May you see that God uses ordinary people like you and me to unveil and make his story come to life. And so in the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at characters Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and a redneck shepherd named Harley on Christmas Eve. And so this moment in time when Jesus came was the most pivotal moment of all time, and it was put together in such a way that you could not deny that it was an act of God. It was a divine appointment, a divine moment. Now, the desire of many young people today, and maybe older people too, is to make a name for themselves. And their hope is to make the next going viral video on TikTok or YouTube and to make a name for themselves. Like, I want to be important. In Joseph's day, men, and we're talking about Joseph today, so we'll talk about Mary next week, but men did not desire fame like today, but rather a good reputation. And so Joseph, I'm very impressed with Joseph. You don't hear words from Joseph, but you see ripple effects of Joseph's life. And Joseph made a decision, as you look at the story unfold, he made a decision to stand by Mary and to be obedient to God, and it wasn't an easy choice. We see in this story that when we trust and obey God, he mysteriously unfolds his plan and his purpose for us, and in this case, it unfolds for the whole world. Howard Edigan writes in his book, The Forgotten Man of Christmas, which is Joseph. The man who was chosen to be the adoptive father of our Lord, the one who would protect the infancy of the Savior of the world. In the Word of God, Joseph stands silent. He is spoken to, he is spoken about, but not a word is written down from his mouth. He is viewed by many people as just a small player, an extra in the Christmas drama. David Jeremiah also reminds us that according to Matthew's genealogy, Joseph was a potential king, a person of royal blood, yet we know very little about him. He appears on the scene for a moment and then disappears. Some of the things we can observe about Joseph is that when you look at the story, you see that Mary, in the story, sacrifices two turtle doves. So those that sacrifice those small gifts are not very rich, not wealthy. And so we can assume that Joseph was a poor man. He didn't have a lot of wealth. We can also We also know that Joseph was a carpenter. He worked with his hands. He not only worked with wood, but he also worked with stone and possibly worked his land. He was a hard worker, and he enjoyed, I would assume that he enjoyed the sacrifice of building something sound and useful. And so we can also imagine that, like Mary, he hoped for an orderly, ordinary life. But it didn't happen that way. He had an interesting life, turn of events. He thought maybe perhaps he would just be a carpenter and that would be it. He would get married and raise a family and have a good name in the community and attend the synagogue and do what men and women can do. But Joseph had a turn of events. And later he would teach his son, Jesus. He would teach Jesus skills on how to make furniture or a chair or a table or whatever. And he would teach that skill, and he would also teach Jesus. He would teach him to be a man, however long Joseph lived in his life. Well, then the turn of events happens with Joseph being betrothed or engaged with Mary. And now you should know that in Jewish culture, unlike ours, the groom is the focus of the wedding. And Joseph probably wanted a simple life, like I said, to take his wife Mary and have a household and raise a family. And he probably constructed, if he's a contractor or a carpenter, he probably had planned out things from the beginning and how to make things. He probably planned his life out, and this is how he'd like to see it happen. And yet, life turned upside down for him. You know, life tends to turn out differently, doesn't it, than we intended or thought when we were younger. But the story, the story where the angel Gabriel came into Mary's story and told her that she would conceive of the Savior of the world, and that she would bear the Messiah by the Holy Spirit, by means of the Holy Spirit. And when she found out this, when she got that message from the angel, she chose to leave town. And she went to her relative, Elizabeth, and probably didn't tell Joseph yet about the situation. Luke 1:39 through 40, I think we have it on the screen. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." Is that it? Okay. And then I have Luke 1, 42 and 45. That's what I was. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Yep. And 45. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And we'll talk about Mary next week, but I'm sure that she was overwhelmed by this news. And it was probably helpful for her to get out of town and talk to her relative Elizabeth and to clear her mind and to understand. And we'll talk about that next week, this incredible part of the story. So Joseph has four things that happen to him. The first thing is he discovers the baby. He discovers that she is pregnant. And in Matthew 1:18, we just heard, It says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Though they were engaged, there was no physical union, even though Mary is pregnant. But how can you explain that? Probably her parents didn't understand, and her parents probably had a difficulty time accepting the story. But according to Matthew 1:18, the agreement had been signed. In their culture, you're married, but there's stages of the marriage, and the engagement is the betrothal, and the gifts have been given, which is the dowry, and this is a contract between the two families, and the friends and relatives knew of the couple's engagement, and this is more than a binding than engagements. This is, we are halfway married, and yet they don't become one physically. They don't live in together. They may be in the same community, but so the first one is Joseph discovers Mary's baby, and then he has a dilemma. The second thing is there's a dilemma. He finds out that Mary's pregnant. He's not the father, the physical father, and he has some assumptions. What does he do? Was he angry? I'm sure he was upset. Did he assume that Mary had messed up the marriage and committed adultery? In Matthew 1:19 it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So Joseph desired to shield the public shame of Mary and had decided to quietly divorce her instead of publicly, because in Deuteronomy 22, it tells us that if this happens, we can pull it up, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death, the girl because she was in the town and did not scream for help, and the man because he violated another man's wife. You must purge the evil from among you. So that was the law. So Joseph is like thinking, I'm guessing, that if this is true and if it's someone else's child, then she could be stoned to death and I'm going to divorce her quietly, not publicly. And so that was the first option. But maybe she was raped, but she would have told him that, I would think. The third option was that Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah. Now Joseph was a religious man. He was loyal. He was a Hebrew. He knew the Messiah was to be born in the lineage of David, and he was part of that lineage. And so, because the law says he could divorce her, he was in a difficult place. He couldn't condemn her, but he didn't fully understand the situation. So he chose not to shame her and quietly dissolved the marriage. But then Joseph had a divine experience like Mary. In Matthew 1:20, and this is the third thing, he has his dilemma, and then he has his dream. He was visited by an angel in a dream. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to you, Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What a relief these words must have been for Joseph to hear that and to realize that it wasn't adultery, it wasn't rape, it was from the Lord, and that he was going to be the chosen stepfather, adopted father. Now, in this story, it says that it was a dream. And so, just to kind of remind us that a dream means to have a vision while you're asleep, not while you're awake. When the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, we see God's prophetic word being fulfilled and his provision being carried out, that this child should be of the lineage of David." Joseph was not Jesus' physical father, but by his marriage to Mary, he would be given the true legal status to be the father, and Jesus would be in the lineage of David. However, we also know and have inklings that Mary was of the lineage of David as well. Elizabeth, who is her relative, was from the house of Levite, which is in the lineage of David. And so either way, by blood and by adoption, Jesus came in the lineage of David, which is prophetic from the Old Testament, that he would come and establish that. And so Joseph made a decision. He had a dilemma. He had to make a decision. And because of this dream, he was able to make a better decision. And so the angel explained that Joseph should not have any hesitation in taking Mary to be his wife because her pregnancy was of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph now understood the whole situation to some extent, right? He understood so far that this is going to be from the Lord. Matthew 1:21 is this instruction that Joseph was to call his name Jesus. And so this Matthew reveals that Jesus is to be of a virgin birth, fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. We see one of the prophecies in Isaiah says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and that they shall call him Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. And so notice the word virgin. He did not speak of a virgin. The article before, the word before virgin was not a, it was the, indicating that the Virgin Mary, both Isaiah and Matthew point to a very specific person. Just a side note. So Joseph makes a decision about Mary's baby in verse 24 and 25. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she was till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So they went forward with the marriage, but did not have an intimate relationship with each other until after the baby was born. And so it was fulfilled that this was from the Lord. Max Lucado says, "What happened in Joseph's life illustrates what often happens in ours. That Joseph was being caught between what God says and what makes sense." Have you ever been there? Have you ever heard from the Lord and he says something, "Go do something," and you're like, "Yeah, but I don't understand"? Max Lucado also observes that Joseph didn't let his confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know everything, but he did know what he knew, and he did with what he did with it he was obedient. And so God made sure that everything in his plan would be carried out into the smallest details. Because the purity of Jesus must be protected, the baby must doubtlessly be the son of the Holy Spirit, not the son of Joseph. And in chapter 1 of Matthew, it reiterates this, verse 18. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And the verse 20, it says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child. And then at the end, verse 25, it says, did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Jesus was the child of the Almighty God, conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. And as for Joseph, he was chosen by God to be Jesus' adoptive father. And as such, he played a magnificent role. But the question is, why Joseph? Well, Joseph was very important. Some observations about why Joseph. God needed a carpenter. He needed a man who was sturdy, strong, stable, and practical, yet sensitive to the voice of God. He needed someone who would stand quietly with this young virgin Mary, who might have seemed as an object of ridicule, yet who carried in her womb the hope of the world. Joseph was strong but compassionate. He was able to lead the tiring journey to Bethlehem and to the stable, and to love and encourage the mother of Jesus, Mary, and to encourage her. And Joseph was not only strong and sturdy and practical, and he was compassionate, but he was also the man of the house. He was the teacher who gave Jesus his first lessons in the law of God. He was in Jerusalem when the boy was 12. It became clear that his first allegiance must be to another father. And what did Joseph do? Did he stomp his feet and say, no, I'm the dad? No, he stepped back and he let Jesus get his direction from the Eternal Father. So Joseph humbly and silently stepped back and let God step forward. And even though Joseph never spoke a word that we know of, I mean, he did, but it wasn't written down, we can see that his life spoke volumes into Jesus' life. Howard Eddington again tells us that one of the lessons that comes from the life of Joseph is this, that the most important thing in the whole world can happen to the least important people of the world, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can take up residence in the most ordinary of lives. That means any of you guys or girls. And that the greatest somebody who ever lived can come to nobodies like Joseph and like Mary and like you and me. And isn't this the very attitude that God requires of us? To be humble, to be ordinary, and then he wants to use that for his glory. So maybe the prayer could be like this. Lord God, just tell me what to do and I will do it. I will be obedient anytime, any place, anywhere, anything. Lord God, I don't understand it, and it doesn't make sense. And as far as I know, it's never happened before in history of the world, but if you say it, I will do it. That's how Joseph responded. A British student was having a good time in England studying engineering. And in his spare time, he was riding his motorcycle all over the English countryside, and on a cold, rainy night, he crashed his motorcycle in a remote section of England and lay injured in the road for many hours, injured. And by the time he was hospitalized, he had pneumonia, and the doctors gave him 2 weeks to live. And during those 2 weeks, a letter arrived from his father, who was a missionary in Angola. The letter, written many months before the accident, take note, before the accident, he wrote this letter. It finally arrived by ship. The young man opened the letter and read his father's final words. The final words were, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last." These words went deep into his heart. He gathered up his strength, pulled himself out of the bed, kneeled down to pray, and said, "Lord, you have won. I now own you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, if you will heal my body, I will serve you anywhere, anytime, at any cost." The boy recovered and went on to become a powerful pastor and evangelist. Now he's with the Lord. But his name was Stephen Olford. But I found that this guy was an influence on people like Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, and Jim Elliot. In fact, Billy Graham said, the man who most influenced my ministry was this man, Stephen, this pastor. And so God brought him into a position of significant usefulness through the tragedy of an accident, but most of all through the willingness to say, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. Obedient. And that's essentially what Jesus said when they decided, however it was put together, I don't understand how that came about, but when they decided the plan, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they said, "This is the cost." And Jesus essentially said, and we see this in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, "I'm willing to do your will anywhere, anytime, at any cost." In fact, we see this in Psalms 40. It says, this is a reiteration of that, Psalms 40, 7 through 8. Do we have that? I think so. "Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." He's willing to do whatever it costs. And Mary spoke the same commitment to God after the angel announced that she would give birth to the Savior of the world. Right? She says, yes. In Luke 1:38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be, may it be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. In other words, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. And when Joseph received the angel's message, he walked away from what made human sense to do what God had called him to do. Anywhere, anytime, any cost. And so are you willing? It could be this Christmas season. It could be God's asked you to step out of your comfort zone and go talk to someone about Jesus. Tell them about your story. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Maybe it's to walk across the street and give someone a gift. Or maybe it's to give a meal to someone who needs fellowship and time, and you go and eat with them. It could be anything, but the question is, are you willing, anytime, anywhere, at any cost, to do what God has called you to do? Long ago, on the road to Bethlehem, that happened. with Joseph and Mary. And so it's a good day when we recognize that we don't have to completely understand everything that God's doing in order to obey. And obviously God reserves the right to tell us. But we sometimes see the after effect, what he is doing. Some of the most joyful and fulfilling things that have happened to me have been when I have said yes. Even when I don't know what I'm saying yes to. And I realize after the fact. And a lot of times when I was younger, I didn't like the fact that someone else had an idea and they asked me to do their idea, because it wasn't my idea in the first place. So I've learned to come to grips with that in my own life. When God has an idea and he wants me to do something, and I'm like, yeah, but it's not my idea. Yeah, but it's his idea. And so anytime, anywhere, at any cost. Joseph did it. He was a man of God. He was loyal. He was faithful to the Lord. And Jesus was a man. He became a man because of Joseph's influence on him. And so I hope as you look at the story, you will see that God has incredible story unfolding, and that we are a part of it. And he wants to use us to bring that gift to others. 2 Corinthians 9:15 will end with this. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God that he chose to come down to our earth, to this earth, to live among us, to experience what we've experienced, to grow up and to become the example for us, and then ultimately sacrifice his life for us. We desperately needed a Savior, and we still do today. And so may you, as you look at this story, may you be in awe. May you choose to listen to what God has in store for you to do in his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to come to this earth. And what an amazing, integral, detailed story that is unfolding. That has unfolded and is still unfolding. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be willing, teachable, humble, as Joseph was. And may we have ears to hear and a willingness to do what you've called us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.